Today on NFL Fantasy Live, we've got a full recap of the Steelers and Ravens Thursday night matchup. Highlights and some tasty fantasy analysis is on the way. And we're just 48 hours away from another football-filled Sunday. See which players' matchups our experts say make them nervous. Should Reggie Bush be riding the pine this weekend? Plus, it wouldn't be Friday without some sleepers. You won't want to miss our list of sleeping giants that will await for week two. NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose, starts now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money Smith here with the conductor, Akbar Albaja Villamila, and Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. Just a reminder, you can still sign up for fantasy football at NFL.com/fantasy. We're going to get right into it, guys, because we have a game to talk about, an AFC North showdown Thursday night in Baltimore.
There he is.
Right there on the NFL Network, Big Ben, Joe Flacco, the quarterback's first possession for the Ravens. Here we go, second and goal. Joe Flacco, play action, has a man open in the end zone.
Purple rain.
A tight end.
Making it rain over there.
81 is, Owen Daniels. Ravens lead 7-0. Next possession, Ravens still rolling. Flacco hits Steve Smith Sr. has
this
a three-month-old junior at home.
Serious attitude.
23 yards. Ravens get a field goal, go up 10-0. Hopefully you have Justin Tucker on your team. Solid game, 71 yards for Steve Smith Sr. Steelers now look to get it going. Le'Veon Bell takes the handoff, spins out of a tackle.
He is so impressive. I mean, the vision that he has to be able to get out of that traffic, he could live in Los Angeles and get out of a 405 jam.
I need to know how he would do that. Decent night for Bell, 10.7 points. The Steelers, though, offense stalls, and a field goal for Sean Sweetum. 25-yard field goal there. Now to the Ravens. Second half, and they keep it going. Owen Daniels, and he's rather excited about this particular first down. Yeah, that's right. I got a first down. And now he's going to go ahead and, just right there in the back.
But, I'm going to tell you right now, Owen Daniels balling.
Owen Daniels puts the Ravens up 17-6, five catches, 28 yards, two touchdowns. You know what that means, right, Fabs?
Yeah, no one started him in fantasy.
17.8 fantasy points or 14.8. Come on, Smith, do some simple math here. 14.8. Justin Forsett. Oh, what do you know? It's a 41-yard gain on, I think, his only carry, it seemed like. Set up another Baltimore field goal. The Ravens would go on to win 26-6. So let's get a look at your fantasy leaders. Yeah, if I could have been able to add, I would have said 14.8 instead of 17.8. Owen Daniels, though, nearly the top point producer. Instead, it was Joe Flacco with a rather average quarterback evening. Not bad, though. You'll take 15 points from your quarterback, I would believe. Le'Veon Bell, even though no touchdown, still a little over 10 points. And Antonio Brown had 10 points, even though he had to miss about a quarter plus.
He did.
Under the concussion protocol. So let's start on the Ravens side of the ball. Akbar, two touchdowns for the veteran Owen Daniels, playing for his former head coach, now offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, and that makes it so much easier for Owen Daniels to get out there and get comfortable in the offense. And so that's why Joe Flacco is looking for Owen Daniels. He understands the terminology. He doesn't have to process as much. So it allows him to go out there and play faster. And I think when you look at this chemistry, this is real. You talk about tight end by committee. Yeah, you're going to see Pitta still get involved in this offense, but they have the ability to run the two tight end set. This makes this offense and that tight end position very productive for this Ravens team.
So you're comfortable with two tight ends on that team being productive all season
and
long.
Owen Daniels being the much more productive
tight end.
Because
he looked for Pitta regularly. Pitta was making some big catches as well, was gashing that Steelers defense for some big gains, just did not get the touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's funny because Pitta's trend against Pittsburgh, not good, and happened again.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, for some reason, Pitta does not get it, and Owen Daniels does, but it's still the tight end position producing for Baltimore, which we've seen in the past. That running back deal with Justin Forsett and Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, Shanahanigans is alive and well in Baltimore. There's no doubt about that, because we all thought that Justin Forsett was going to be the guy who starts for the Ravens because of the eye test from a week ago. Well, we were wrong. They went with Bernard Pierce. He had 22 carries, 96 yards, and had 10.3 fantasy points. Now, is this going to be a situation where week to week we're guessing? Is it going to be Pierce? Is it going to be Forsett? I think clearly Kubiak and Harbaugh want it to be Pierce because he is a good fit for the zone blocking scheme that Kubiak brought in there. But this could be a headache, guys. Both of these guys need to be owned in fantasy leagues, but now we're sort of leaning towards Pierce being the more valuable fantasy running back. Who knows?
And look, Forsett has made his way around the league. He hasn't stuck anywhere, so you take that into consideration. Bernard Pierce, a draft choice, invested, thinking maybe he could end up being the heir apparent.
Money plays.
He worked his way out of that doghouse pretty quickly.
He certainly did. Yeah. Well, he did. And he's probably going to get the first crack. But then I go back to Forsett, and I think about, hey, 6 inches away from really a big night.
I mean, touchdown.
From a 13-point evening, he did get those 12
touches. He's explosive,
touches.
Too. Yeah,
and made,
committee,
and made
money,
most of
committee.
Them. Steve Smith, senior.
Well, Steve Smith is going to be the pulse of this offense because when I look at Steve Smith, he has such an attitude out there, and you can see it in his physical play. I mean, just stiff-arming guys, throwing guys to the ground, and that's the type of attitude that the Baltimore Ravens didn't have in their offense last year. So you're going to see that start to become contagious around the other guys. Steve Smith, to me, is going to be the reason why and Joe Flacco. That short game
he's
with
the
Steve Smith.
To own.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's the best Smith to own.
Certainly.
You know, yes, a couple of days ago, I said Torrey Smith was going to be that guy. But look, the way their offense is moving, Steve Smith can move the chains. And so you better believe that Steve Smith, you better pick him up and own him.
It was no different than what we saw against Cincinnati. Torrey Smith was just running 9 routes, and Steve Smith was doing all the work underneath and getting all the targets. And, I mean, that's 2 games now that we've
play
seen the same
off
thing.
On Steve Smith if you want, and he's going
to
gash you.
Fabs, let's go to the Steelers side of the ball. Le'Veon Bell, over 100 scrimmage yards, grabbed a little over 10 fantasy points. That's good news. You'll take that from an RB start.
No question about that. And he is becoming one of the better bargains in fantasy drafts because if you remember, once we got into the late portion of August, he was dropping down because of the whole mess with LeGarrette Blount. In fact, I know I have drafted Le'Veon Bell in the 3rd round in one of our leagues, the NFL Fantasy Live versus NFL AM. Jamal Charles is my number one, and Charles has not looked good, but Le'Veon Bell's been fantastic. He's turning into a locked and loaded RB1 in fantasy land.
All right, let's go to Antonio Brown. Again, had to miss about a quarter and a half, but still got you 10 points.
He did well. He was targeted quite a bit. He did miss a little bit of time dealing with that concussion protocol. And what I love about Antonio Brown is that even when he has a so-so game, it's still very good from a fantasy perspective.
That is pretty good. So-so game.
And the trend of him not scoring against the Steelers held true. He has never scored a touchdown.
Against
the Ravens. Yeah. It happened again, but he still had a good game. And in PPR leagues, he's in double digits.
Yeah, I know our man Sheck tweeted it out last night, and he's right. These games just seemingly always end up 13-10. I mean, last night, certainly the Ravens were able to put some points on the board, but that's what they are. They're physical matchups, and it usually comes down to
one thing to know in this game as well, the Baltimore Ravens defense, they had double digits as well. They look really, really good. That's a defense.
Sloppy game.
If you haven't picked up and you don't know about them, you better get familiar.
Pittsburgh offense. All right, for more now, let's throw it over to Marcus and Adam for all the latest headlines.
Thank you, guys. I am NFL.com fantasy editor Marcus Grant. I'm here with the fantasy maverick Adam Rank. It's time to get you caught up with all the news and notes from around the league. And we'll get started in Cincinnati. There is where Bengals star receiver A.J. Green, he was back on the field Friday. Green is listed as probable against the Falcons. And head coach Marvin Lewis said Green is, quote, good to go on Sunday. All right, Adam, does this news alleviate any concerns you might have had about Green? What do you expect from him this week against the Falcons?
It's like you know nothing about me. Of course, I'm always concerned. I have that weird, conundrum where I reside in the danger zone, yet I'm scared about everything. But I'm not going to be too concerned about A.J. Green. My mantra is always, if A.J. Green is going to start for the Cincinnati Bengals, he is going to start for my fantasy football team. So as long as he's on there, I'm starting him.
All right. A lot of confidence from the Maverick. Good news in Green Bay. Packers running back Eddie Lacy has been cleared to play on Sunday. He's listed as probable for Sunday's tilt with the Jets. Lacy suffered a concussion in the season opener last Thursday against the Seahawks, but he's been cleared by league concussion protocol. Lacy was bottled up against Seattle the first week. That tends to happen. What do you expect from him this week?
Yeah, you figured he was going to be bottled up by that number one defense of the Seahawks, but now he's got the Jets. Again, a decent defense, but now they're coming home. They've had some time. They've had a couple of extra days because they played on that Thursday night. So I look for him to get about 82 yards. I'll give him a touchdown.
Very specific.
Congratulations, Eddie Lacy. There's 15.2 points.
Very specific. More running back news. Buccaneers rusher Doug Martin hit the practice field for a second day in a row after missing Wednesday's session. All right, the Bucs' run game was awful last week against the Panthers. Assuming Martin is on the field for this week's game against the Rams, any chance he gets back to being the same explosive back we saw a couple seasons ago?
It almost seems like we're wishing for him to get to that point, that we're hoping he's going to be that guy when the evidence really hasn't presented itself that says that he's going to be. So if you have Doug Martin, hopefully you have him as your second running back, and you can take a little bit of a risk there and kind of sneak him into your lineup. But I don't know that he's going to be able to do it, especially against this front four in St. Louis. Even with some injuries and a little bit of depletions, that's still a pretty formidable group. So Doug Martin, I would almost hope that he didn't play and just kind of rest it up, and then it would allow me to go out and pick up somebody else and play him.
I feel like fewer running backs came with bigger question marks injury of the season.
You're really putting a lot on the line there.
So much going on there. Jacksonville bell cow Toby Gerhart is listed as probable for week two after injuring his ankle on Sunday. Gerhart was a full participant in practice on Friday, has a favorable matchup against Washington this week. All right, Rank, what can we expect from Toby Gerhart?
Yeah, that's what I like. As long as he practices on Fridays and there's nothing holding him back or anything like that, that's a great sign. And like you said, huge matchup against the Redskins. Arian Foster was able to go out and gash that team last week. Toby Gerhart's going to get the opportunity to go out there. And that's what we always talked about all summer with Toby Gerhart, is that it was the volume. And the volume's always there. So you got to take a – when you have a guy like that who gets that many carries, you have to play him.
Speaking of guys you may have to play, Bears Pro Bowl receivers Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey both listed as questionable against the 49ers. Marshall's recovering from an ankle injury, did not practice all week. Jeffrey is sidelined with a hurt hamstring. He was limited in practice on Friday. The Bears don't play until Sunday night, which means fantasy owners are going to have to make a decision early in the day. Is it time to be concerned?
I'm concerned in both fantasy and reality. This is awful news for the Bears and fantasy owners alike. And the tough thing is like you said, it's a Sunday night game. Who are you going to go out and pick up? Is Riley Cooper available on the waiver wire? Maybe Hakeem Nicks. Have somebody in the background that you can go up and switch and check, because these guys are good enough to wait. Now, Alshon Jeffrey has the hamstring injury, and those injuries can be kind of tricky. Those are harder to return from. We saw like guys like Miles Austin. It takes him so long to get back. I have a big fear that Alshon Jeffrey's not going to be able to go. I'm not a doctor, but I just see when I see hamstring injuries, that's the one thing that concerns me. So I would almost count on him not going. Brandon Marshall, I have a little bit more faith in. The ankle injury, I think he can play through. And as long as he's on the field, you know Jay Cutler's going to be looking for him. So if Brandon Marshall plays, again, if he plays for your fantasy team, if he plays for the Bears, he plays for you. You know, one of those two.
Right. Keep an eye on the injury reports all weekend long. You got a guy on your roster you need an injury update on? Check us out later tonight at 2 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network for a full Week 2 injury report, complete with the latest practice reports and status updates of all the injured stars across fantasy. Set your DVR. Still to come, we're dishing out some of the best quarterback and tight end matchups for Week 2. You won't want to miss the knowledge we're about to drop. And up next, we put some of last week's top performers head-to-head to find out who will have the better week two. It's one and only NFL Fantasy Live.
With NFL Now, you can watch stories, news, and highlights of your favorite teams on all your devices. Watch for free at NFL.com/now. It's time now for player comparisons presented by SAP. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, and we're going to take a look at some players who performed well in Week 1, put them head-to-head to predict who will have the better Week 2, and we're not talking run-of-the-mill comparisons, gentlemen.
No?
We are talking QB1 versus QB2, or perhaps even a waiver QB in the case of Jake Locker. Many of you may have taken Locker off the waiver wire this week, as they will be in Tennessee for the home opener. Russell Wilson headed down to San Diego. Very close in point production, 18.5 to 20 total. So better week two. Russell Wilson at Chargers or Jake Locker at home against the Cowboys. Marcus, you get us started.
I'm going with Russell Wilson in this one. I know he's never spectacular necessarily. He's always steady. But what I like about Russell Wilson, even against a decent defense like the Chargers, he doesn't turn the football over. He makes good quality throws like you see right there. He lets his receivers do the work. On top of that, Russell Wilson is a guy who can get out of the pocket, who can make things happen with his legs. But again, a multi-interception game just once in his last 28. He's got 27 runs of more than 10 yards. There's just so many things he does that go unnoticed. He's not a spectacular guy, but I'll take that solid point production every week.
You know what else he does?
You see the deep ball right there.
He goes 16-1 at home and 9-7 on the road. That's what he does.
Sorry, I don't care about wins and losses.
What do you got, Fabs?
I've got numbers for you, my friend. Jake Locker scored over 20 fantasy points last week on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. He has averaged almost 330 passing yards in three career home games against the NFC. And the Cowboys stink, guys. They're awful. The Cowboys have allowed an average of 326 passing yards per game in their last five against the AFC. This is Jake Locker, no doubt about it. I'm starting him in 7 leagues this week.
How many leagues are you in?
I am in 11.
All right.
So I like Jake Locker this
week. 7 of 11. Jake Locker for Michael Fabiano, Rankin, Marcus Hugo. With Russell Wilson on the road against a very good San Diego defense.
Is it good?
Absolutely.
They've allowed a lot of
Corey
points.
Corey Legit, Melvin Ingram, Weddle at the back end.
They got burned late last week, too.
Moving on to the running back position. I always get the last word. Let's match up an RB1 in Monte Ball versus an RB2 in No. Sean Moreno, probably a flex running back when it came to your draft. Look at these stats from week one. We thought it was going to be Lamar Miller. Well, he did get the start, but No. Sean is the well that they drank from repeatedly in order to get that victory over the Patriots. So a 5-point advantage for No. Sean over Monte Ball. Here we go. Who wants to take it? Monte Ball versus the Chiefs or No. Sean versus the Bills? Fabs, what do you got?
I am going with Monte Ball. I like No. Sean Moreno. He's a start in my start him and sit him column this week. But Monte Ball, last year against the Chiefs, he had a career-high 117 rushing yards. That was a monster performance, sort of his breakout last year. He has also rushed for a touchdown in each of his last 5 games. So this is a very strong matchup for Monte Ball. The Chiefs' defense is lousy, guys. Let's face it. And they are struggling. Monte Ball, good at home, rushing touchdowns. I'm going all in on Monte Ball.
Well, if we're going former Broncos running back against current Broncos running back, I'm going former Broncos running back. I got No. Sean Moreno in this one. The Bills have given up a lot of yards on the ground to running backs. On top of that, they've given up some yards through the air to running backs as well. We know No. Sean Moreno looks like the guy who's going to take over for Lamar Miller as the bell cow there in Miami. I think he sees a lot of work this week, and I like No. Sean Moreno.
He's
nice
already
week.
Taken over for him.
This is true.
He had 24 attempts last week. Lamar Miller had just 11. There's no doubt. If you watch this game, I went back and watched some of the tape. No. Sean Moreno, just the better runner.
Yeah, and I believe Forte had 170 yards combined against that Bills defense last week. And if he's going to be the bell cow, you would expect Ryan Tannehill. No. Sean can keep it going.
It's a good matchup for Moreno. It is.
Let's move on to 2 flex receivers, we'll call them, in terms of where they were drafted. Jeremy Maclin, Kelvin Benjamin. Not a lot of receptions, but a lot of yards. And that always sought after touchdown, 15.7, 15.2. You'll take those any day of the week. So better week 2, Jeremy Maclin at the Colts on the turf or Kelvin Benjamin at home with Cam Newton returning versus the Lions. Fabs, get us started.
I'm going to go with Maclin, but I want to be on record and say I'm not in love with either one of these guys this week. I'm not a big fan of either one of these wide receivers.
Why?
Going into week 2 because of the matchups. Maclin, this is a great matchup right against Indianapolis Colts. They held Demaryius Thomas to under 5 fantasy points last week. All of the production went to the tight ends, which is why I like Zach Ertz in this contest. And Maclin is a guy who gets into the end zone, 23 touchdowns and 45 career games.
We like
so
that.
If you have to start one of these two, it's Maclin. But again, I am not on the bandwagon for either of these guys for week 2.
All right, so I'm going to take that as you like Maclin.
More than Benjamin.
More than Benjamin, but not a lot. All right, how about Kelvin Benjamin, Rank?
Oh, I have to imagine that Cam Newton was standing on the sidelines last week just waiting for the opportunity to go out and throw passes to this guy because this is, look at him, he's just a hoss out there. He's a big-bodied guy who can move.
Reference.
He's a hoss. Look at him. And then they'll watch his catch right there. Boom. You can stand in front of him, and he'll still catch it. I love this guy. I love the matchup. I love that he's the number one receiver. Jeremy Maclin's going to be fighting a lot of guys for touches. You know, there's a lot of different parts in that Eagles offense. Benjamin's the number one guy.
I'm going to be honest,
Carolina.
Frank. I checked out when you said Haas. Now I'm thinking about Crokeys and like a Maui and Sons t-shirt. I'm just totally out. So whatever he said and he said is all good. I'm just thinking Haas. All right, fantasy fans, if you're not sure which players to start each week, make sure you check out the player comparison tool with insights from SAP, exclusive only to NFL.com fantasy users. It compares recent performances, matchups, and potential upside to help you figure out who to start and sit each week. Be sure to check it out at NFL.com/fantasy. All right. And coming up next on NFL Fantasy Live, do not get stuck staring at your roster on Saturday night. One quick look at this week's schedule will show you which week 2 matchups you should shy away from. And if you snooze, you lose. That's what they say, and that's why they call them fantasy sleepers. We'll tell you which guys to pick up and plug into your roster before your friends can get a jump on you. It is not too late to play NFL.com/fantasy. Enjoy free new mobile apps so you can join, draft, and play from anywhere. Sign up at NFL.com/fantasy. Here you go. It's your week 2 schedule. Some nuggets up on that board. And it's not just that board, but it's another board because there's a lot of games on week 2. Everybody plays, you know.
No bye weeks.
No bye weeks yet. One already in the books, of course, Thursday Night Football, the Steelers and the Ravens. It was a fantasy haul. Well, if you had a kicker and a backup tight end.
Yeah.
And
a bitterness.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. Matt Money Smith here with Marcus Grant, Michael Fabiano, and Akbar Baja Biamila. We have seen the schedule for week two. We just saw it. So how about some of the matchups on that list that, let's see, how about scare you? Scare you. Literally scare you.
Well, you know, for me, it has to be RG3. I mean, I'm deathly afraid of this matchup from RG3. When you look at the production that he put up last week, I mean, it was bad. And then, of course, you think that he's going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that should be an easy fix for RG3. But, hey, look, this is a Jaguars defense that defensive line, they got four sacks against the Eagles. They shut the Eagles out in the first half of that game. Of course, they lost a little bit of control. Here's what I'm seeing out of RG3. I'm seeing a guy who's not as confident. He can't move in the pocket. He needs to be able to use his God-given ability to throw and run the ball, and he hasn't done that like we've seen in the past.
All right, how about another dual-threat quarterback, Marcus Grant, somebody that figuratively scares you?
It'd be Cameron Jarrell Newton. I'm a little bit worried about him. We saw him in the preseason. He was not at full speed at that point. Now he's got to get up to speed against a fierce Lions pass rush. And this is a Lions team that defensively is pretty stout. One rushing TD allowed to quarterbacks in the last 20 games. One or fewer passing TDs allowed in six straight games. Plus, they want him to stay in the pocket. And he made Ndamukong Suh mad this week.
And these Lions, you're about to talk about Reggie Bush. They were blitzing like crazy, something we have not seen in a while from that Lions defense.
If you have Reggie Bush on your fantasy team and you're deep at running back, you're going to want to bench him this week. He does not have a good history against the Carolina Panthers. In fact, in seven career games, one touchdown, and he has also put up 70 scrimmage yards or fewer in four career road games against Carolina. The Panthers are good against the run. Reggie Bush, I am scared of this week.
Yeah, those are all, though, stats from when he was with the Saints and they were in the same division. That's the one that scares me, Fabs, right there. 1.7 yards per rush against the Giants. That is not good at all. Let's keep it with the running back position. And how about Zach Stacy, Akbar?
Yeah, this doesn't look good for Zach Stacy. And there's a couple things going on with this offense. One, they're unsure about this whole quarterback situation with Sean Hill, Austin Davis. And so this makes it very easy for the defenses to really stop down their strong suit. And their strong suit right now is not the passing game. It's the run game. And then you look at the fact that Zach Stacy now has Benny Cunningham behind him who's getting some touches. So this really takes away from his ability to be productive the way he can be. Zach Stacy's going to get his touches, but there's a lot of stuff clouding his ability to make points.
Marcus, you went to USC, right?
Yes, I did.
Uh-oh.
Cal, a rival of USC?
Yes, it is.
Why you got to hate on Keenan Allen like this?
Can I say Seahawks? Because Seahawks. That's why. Otherwise, I like Keenan Allen. I think he's going to have a really good year, but the Seahawks, they're so good against other offenses, and we know how good that defense is. And if anything, it's just a bad, bad matchup. If you have somebody else on your roster that you can plug in, do it. I know it's tough. I know Keenan Allen was drafted to be a low-end wide receiver one for you. If you have some other options, that's what you do this week.
Hey, Fabs.
Yes, sir.
You like fantasy, right?
I do.
Why you got to hate on the Dragons of the University of Alabama, Birmingham Blazers like this?
I speak the truth, and I tell the people about the trends and the facts. And listen to these numbers, Money. Roddy White, okay, has played AFC road games in his career, 18 of them.
Okay.
Two touchdowns. That's it.
And all of it. And all of his
and
career.
One touchdown in 17 career September games. You know what that says?
He doesn't like September and he doesn't like the AFC.
So if you play him, temper your expectations because Roddy does not have a lot of success
that.
On the road against the AFC.
So you're saying he's not going to ball. He's not going to ball.
That's what I call using the numbers, man. That is
using
September and road games. AFC. All right, let's get to the weather. How about weather playing a factor in this week's matchup? Send it over to our resident fantasy meteorologist and aspiring musician, turns out, Jim Kosek of KCTV in Kansas City. He's fired up for week two. Who would have guessed? Jim?
Oh, it's that time of the year, guys, when football and weather collide. Much like when two parts oxygen or two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen collide. I love it. So much so, I wrote a little song about it. I love you, H2O, yes, indeedy. And don't you love it? Because it's all water, and we do have some water to talk about, shifting in a west-to-east fashion. That means some of you are going to get wet because, we are talking about a little bit of juice headed this way here. and also this way. That's only two games that are going to be impacted by this water or the H2O scenario. A couple of showers in Charlotte, no big deal. Ooh, but a dome team and 70 degrees? That's no big deal. But let me tell you something. McCown and Davis aren't going to threaten anyone. The thunderstorms could, though, down the road in Tampa. So the call comes back. And listen, Gano, if you can't even beat out a high school band during halftime, you think you're going to make it to my fantasy football team? And I thought long and hard about this one because he's a hometown favorite. But Alex Smith, please, this ain't a backyard football. You got to throw that ball with authority. So the sun was in your eyes week one. Sun's in your eyes for week two. I love you, H2O. Yeah! Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely. It's a pleasure.
Oh, no, Kosek. The pleasure is all ours. That's, you know, it's too bad it's September. That could have been the feel-good hit of the summer
that
he was strumming right there.
He should definitely keep that day job.
We heard only two games impacted by the weather, thunderstorms in Tampa and some showers over there in Carolina. So how about it? It's a dome team. He's right. The Detroit Lions typically not fare all that well on the road.
Let me tell you something.
And it's going to be wet out there.
Football players could care less about some H2O.
Couldn't care less.
How about this, Money? I'm sitting Reggie Bush. Oh, wait.
Thank you to Jim Kosek. He'll be with us all year, every single Friday, give you an idea of how weather might impact your fantasy team. Still to come, our Adam Rank is at it again, dishing out his top likes and dislikes for week two. Find out which fantasy stars get the dreaded thumbs down when we return. All right, welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Remember, you can always join the conversation at NFL Fantasy Guys. Week two, it already got started, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, so why not head out to the city known for its crab cakes?
Big Ben, looking slim.
Big Ben,
Joe Flacco. I don't need a shave.
First possession for the Ravens, second and goal, Joe Flacco, play action, and to his tight end.
Not Pitta. That's not Dennis Pitta.
Daniel.
Oh, I smell a little bit
Ravens
of controversy.
Ravens lead 7-0. Steelers looking to get rolling. Their own 45. Le'Veon Bell takes the handoff, spins out of a tackle.
Oh, show him what you got. Show him what you're working with.
Keeps those legs going.
He looks like an RB1. So
what do you mean he looks like an RB1?
He is an RB1.
Touches last night.
Gentlemen, settle down, please.
Okay.
After some penalties, Ravens second and goal.
Tied in by committee.
Owen Daniels. Ravens up 17-6. Daniels ends up 5 catches, 28 yards, 2 touchdowns.
That's what happens
fantasy.
When you know Kubiak.
Stunned. 14.8 points, just shy of Joe Flacco's game high, 14.94. Justin Tucker nearly took that title with his 14 fantasy points. I hope somebody in our NFL Fantasy Live League has Justin Tucker because nobody had Matt Bryant last week.
I think so.
Speaking of quarterbacks, let's take a look now at the top 10 quarterback starts for week two. These are based on our expert averages at NFL.com. We would call this an aggregate ranking. Peyton Manning there, number one. No surprise. I mean, you see the guys at the top four guys that you expect to be the top four guys all the time. Big names aside, gentlemen, let's talk about some notable week two QB matchups that you like. And Fabs, why don't you get us started?
Well, let's go to Cincinnati and talk a little Andy Dalton, because this is a guy who's inconsistent overall, but at home, he is absolutely gangbusters. Look at his numbers. 19 total touchdowns in his last 5 home games. 23 touchdowns in his last 9 games against the NFC. Money, they're playing the Falcons. They play in what conference?
They play in the NFC South.
This is correct. The NFC. So I love Dalton. I think he could be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. This week, I am on the Red Dalton bandwagon.
Why you got to be like that against the NFC, man? It's not cool. You know, and lump them all together.
I'm just speaking the
put
truth.
Put a label on them. You know what I mean? It's just not cool. All right, how about it, Akbar? What do you got?
You know, during the preseason, we gave Colin Kaepernick such a hard time. And what I saw against the Cowboys in week one was the idea that we saw that what he did, the results of working on his fundamentals during the preseason, was what we saw here. The throw against Vernon Davis, Vernon Davis, his ability to step into the pocket. He's really matured, especially in that pocket, being able to survey the field, and that's what you want. And he's going to survey the field and read the defense for the Chicago Bears like an open book. I think he's going to have an outstanding game against the Bears.
E.J. Manuel looked like he might have an extended NFL career against the Bears last week. Carson Palmer, you're going with a Trojan?
I am, believe it or not. Yes, I like Carson Palmer this week because the Giants secondary looked awful in their first game. And Carson Palmer has a lot more weapons than we are used to seeing from him in the last few seasons. And he's a guy who can still sling the ball deep down the field. He's got guys who can go out and get it like Michael Floyd. I know they didn't use Larry Fitzgerald a lot last week, but he's still there. John Brown is a guy who's going to make an impact for this team in the offense as well. He's thrown one or more touchdowns in 14 straight games and is criminally under-owned. Fewer than 30% of NFL.com fantasy leagues.
A
right
criminally adjective from Marcus Grant. All right. There's some, I guess, under the radar, we'll call them, QB matchups that you might want to play if you don't like what your current starter has ahead of them. For more now, let's throw it over to Adam Rank.
It is time for Like Dislike presented by Corona. What's up, fantasy people? Adam Rank here. Each week, I give you my likes and dislikes in the world of sports, TV, movies, so much more, including a spoiler-free Sons of Anarchy review where Jax dies. Just kidding. It's still on the DVR. But let's move on to the fantasy football. My first like of the week, Russell Wilson. A lot of you like to pretend Wilson isn't a great fantasy quarterback, but the facts say otherwise. He was a top 9 quarterback last season, and he is going to be even better this season if week 1 is any indication. He's easily the smartest quarterback running the football, plus he's got a new complement of weapons that have made him even more dangerous. Yes, pun intended. Plus, the matchup is rather nice this week against the Chargers, who have been very generous to fantasy quarterbacks dating back to last year. And seriously, they're going to continue to drop all those interceptions. How can you not start Wilson? Well, let's stay in San Diego. And a quarterback I don't like, or whose fantasy value I don't like, and of course I'm talking about my cousin Philip Rivers. I watched with a pained expression on my face as Rivers didn't necessarily struggle against the Birds on Monday night, but it wasn't his best performance that I've ever seen from him, and I'll be damned if I'm going to put myself through that again against the Seahawks. And if, you know, you wanted to know, the Seahawks allow about 8 fantasy points to quarterbacks at home, 11 on the road, both those tops in the league, so sit P. Riv. Let's move on to the running back position, and welcome back, Knowshon Moreno. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Moreno starts the season on the bench, does his work, and then by the second week of the year, he is the full-on number one running back, as he is right now in Miami. So basically, nothing's changed. I still like you. Oh, I still like you. Only slightly less than I used to. My guy, so go ahead and start Moreno this week, who has a good matchup against the Bills. But you know what? I don't like Lamar Miller. He still hasn't fixed those fumbling problems which have dogged him all the way back to the Hall of Fame game in 2013. And going back to watch the tape of week 1, it was clear Moreno was just the better running back as evidenced by the split distribution. Moreno had 24 rushing attempts to Miller's 11, and there's no reason to believe that's going to change anytime soon. So go ahead and leave Miller on your bench. And finally, let's talk about Pierre Garçon, who I like this week. Well, I like him every week because he's one of the most consistent receivers in the game. As RG3 struggles to learn a new offense, the guy he will continue to rely on each and every week will be Garçon. He has the most targets, the most reception, the most everything of all the Redskins receivers, so go ahead and play him. Plus, the Jaguars' pass defense, they've allowed a lot of fantasy points to receivers, especially on the road, so Garçon, really nice this week. All right, you want some more names? Let's take a look. We have talked about Jake Locker extensively on the show. I am on the bandwagon. I will be starting him in one of my leagues. Zach Stacy, I'm giving him one more week. You know what? He had 100 yards against the Bucs last year. I'll roll the dice with him one more time. Reggie Wayne, Zach Ertz seems like a no-brainer. Tony Romo, not really digging it. Danny Woodhead, Keenan Allen, Charger guys don't like the matchup. Jason Witten doesn't play very well on the road. If you look at his history against the AFC on the road, not very good. So he hits the bench this week. And that was Like Dislike presented by Corona. When NFL Fantasy Live returns, we're tackling the always tricky tight end position as we break down this week's most favorable matchups. Plus, you might want to take a second look at your bench this weekend because you could be sitting on fantasy gold. Coming up, we reveal our top fantasy sleepers.
All right, here is a look at the top 10 tight ends from a fantasy perspective, according to our aggregate rankings, at NFL.com. Jimmy Graham, of course, at the top there, taking on Cleveland. In Cleveland, Julius Thomas with the 3-touchdown week in his debut, hosting Kansas City. And the point being, it's not a deep position. Dennis Pitta, one of our top tight ends, he does not have a great outing. Owen Daniels has a great outing.
So fantasy. We
welcome you back to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money Smith here, the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano, the great San Diego State Aztec. Akbar, well, it's Saturday tomorrow. You know, we're talking college football a little bit. Akbar Basha be a meal. Let's dig into the tight end position, discuss some matchups we like, because we know Jordan Cameron did not practice today. We know Jordan Reed is out. So if you have to dig for that tight end position, where is a spot people ought to look, Fabs?
Well, Zach Ertz is a guy that a lot of people drafted as a high two instead of a low one. And he was fantastic in week one. Put up a very strong stat line, going for over 13 fantasy points. Scored a touchdown. He's got a great rapport with Nick Foles. And he is extremely talented. This is an athletic guy who makes a great catch down the middle of the field against the Jaguars. I like the matchup on Monday night against the Colts. No team gave up more fantasy points to tight ends in week one than the Colts. Now, I know it was Peyton Manning and Julius Thomas, but Akbar, that seems to indicate maybe there's a little softness in the middle of that defense.
So let's say you're in a 12-team league, Akbar. It's likely that Ertz was drafted as a one because of how thin the position is. What about Delanie Walker? Certainly drafted as a two, if drafted at all.
Well, really, I mean, a lot of guys didn't draft Delanie Walker, but when you look at this matchup, if you didn't draft him, he's on your waiver wire. I say you go out and get him. This Dallas Cowboys defense is not very good. I mean, look what Vernon Davis did to this defense. I believe that Delanie Walker is going to do more of the same thing. When I look at tight end matchups, I kind of look at it as like a one-on-one basketball game. I go Delanie Walker against one-on-one with Bruce Carter. That's a win. Kyle Wilbur, that's a win. And then their safety, J.J. Wilcox.
I'm going go to I'm gonna go to Dwayne Allen. And Dwayne Allen was, I don't want to say a gut draft for a lot of people, but it seemed like he was starting to get drafted as a back-end tight end one. And now we're seeing why. Before his injury, we heard that, you know, people wanted the fairy tale. Oh, two Stanford guys, Kobe Fleener or Andrew Luck, they love one another. Dwayne Allen was the guy that he was looking for regularly that looked like the first option at that tight end position. And he proved it against the Broncos. He ended up as a top seven tight end. He was sixth overall. And that's going to just continue throughout the season as long as Allen can stay healthy. He's playing a Philadelphia Eagles team. I expect this to be a shootout. Dwayne Allen, a great start. How about that? I mean, hell, now we're digging deep here.
This is deep right here with Larry Dineau. None of us had really even known about this guy. Zeke Moat used to wear 84, by the way, for the New York Giants. But he had double-digit fantasy points, and basically, he looked to have a really good rapport with Eli Manning. Now, why do I like him in week two? He's playing against the Arizona Cardinals. No team gave up more fantasy points to tight ends than the Cardinals last season. And in week one, Antonio Gates had a good game and could have had a better game if he hadn't dropped one of those passes from Phillip Rivers. So if you're really hurting a tight end, this kid is worth a look off the waiver wire.
And I know somebody you liked last week going into week one, Akbar. I'm going to take for week two here.
Okay,
Martellus Bennett. I'm sure we're going to
good game against the Bills.
It absolutely was. Had that early touchdown, and especially if Alshon Jeffrey has been limited so far this week. If he's out, you know Jay Cutler likes those tall drinks of water when it comes to getting in the red zone. And that is going to be a, I don't want to say must-win game in week two, but the Bears don't want to start out 0-2, and it's a familiar target in the red zone. When it comes to tight ends, it's all about touchdowns. It's not necessarily targets, yards. Are they a target in the red zone? And clearly Martellus Bennett is for Jay Cutler.
Well, you know, another guy that I'm looking at is Charles Clay. This Bill Lazor's offense is going to really take advantage of those high-percentage throws. What do I mean high-percentage throws? Those are real safe throws like you see right there on the screen. And what is this a part of? This is an extension of the run game. We know when Bill Lazor was with the Philadelphia Eagles, they really featured the run. It was really big. But there's multiple ways to get to the run. Charles Clay, in case you didn't know, played a little bit of running back when he was at the University of Tulsa. So he understands the outside running game. They're going to utilize him. They targeted him six times during this last game. He's going to be more involved. Charles Clay is a good one to pick up.
And we mentioned Martellus Bennett got that touchdown against the Bills, the team that the Dolphins are playing this week. All right, for some fantasy feedback, we love when you interact with us. Let's send it over to Marcus and Adam.
Thank you, Money. Marcus Grant here with fantasy enthusiast Adam Rank. And all week long, we've been asking fans to send us their best fantasy team names to our Twitter account, at NFL Fantasy. So we've compiled our favorites. Now we're going to give you our top five. But first, let's take a look at some of the candidates here. We'll go down the list of our top 10. We got the 14-year-old virgin, Daenerys Targaryen, for everybody who's a Game of Thrones fan there.
Yep.
I pity the Foles. I feel like that's a fumbled opportunity.
You could have gone
there.
Double there.
I pity the Foles.
Pity the Foles.
Better, you know what I'm saying? The Cruz Tang Clan, sleepers rule everything around me. Straight out of Coughlin.
Nice.
Third down for Watt. I'm a man. I'm Forte, which Mike Gundy approves of that one.
Mike Gundy. Nice. You know?
American Hoyer story. I kind of like that one. Perfect Strangers.
They're all good, Marcus. That's why they're on this board.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Bortles. All right, so we give it to you now.
I really like a lot. These are all 10. They're outstanding. I like the Forte ones. Those are obviously speaking to me, but look, they're a little dated. My wife still used Forte Ounces to Freedom, Rosie McGee, and I said, listen, we got to update the Forte references, so they're out. The what's this, Game of Thrones? Listen, I like professional wrestling. I read comic books. I have Dick Dastardly on my cufflinks right now. That's dorky. Way too dorky. All right, I'll make the pick. Teenage Mutant Ninja Bortles.
Wow.
Who sent that one in? It was Phil Perkins. Great job by you.
Hi, Phil.
Were you a fan of the cartoon?
I was a fan of the cartoon. No, the movie? Cartoon over the movie.
Movie was all right.
It was all right.
All right.
All right, so number four.
I'm going to go Perfect Strangers.
Get out of the city!
Even though Perfect went to Centennial High School in Corona, California, I still will get
It's neighborhood.
It's a little bit dated, but you know what? I really like it.
All right, number three.
I'm going to go. You know what? This one speaks to me. I'm a big fan of the shows on this network, which I won't mention, but you know what?
All right.
American Horror Story.
It's clever. It's very clever. And you use a guy
who people don't talk about. Isaiah May. Who did the Perfect one, too?
Perfect was M. Lockert.
M. Lockert, okay. We got to give credit where credit's due.
Number two.
I'm going to go. You know, I've got a team name, which is Adam's Boutique, so I'm going to like the hip-hop ones.
Great album.
Yeah, Paul's Boutique. One of the most...
Actually, third down for what?
Okay, that was too much signal.
Oh, sorry.
A little bit too much.
I'm sorry.
But that's a good one, right?
I think it's fantastic, actually.
And I think...
All right, so who's number one now?
You can't argue with... Straight out of Coughlin.
Wow.
Crazy young brother named Tommy. He's got a quarterback who throws a lot of... I don't know.
You talked about some of the Forte references being old, so in that case, I think we've got to switch it up.
Music's not dated.
And we've got to go third down for what?
20 years from now, are we going to be thinking about third down for water straight out of Coughlin? Really? What stood the test of time?
This is true. All right, those are our list there. Hopefully you got some good ones as well. Coming up next, think you got your lineup all set for the weekend? Well, don't hit that submit button just yet because we're bringing you our top week two sleepers when NFL Fantasy Live returns.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. Time for some week two sleepers. Fabs, get us started.
I will get us started, and I'm going to get started with Terrence West, the Cleveland Browns running back. He is going to be a big-time sleeper this week. We talked about him as such in the preseason because Ben Tate, well, he's always hurt. And money, Ben Tate is now?
Hurt.
Exactly. Not playing in week two. This is a great matchup. The Saints gave up the sixth most fantasy points to running backs in week one. Start Terrence West as a RB2 or even a flex. It'd be a great flex.
Maybe even an RB1, huh, Fabs? Come on, say it with me. RB1.
I'm not going to go there.
How about it, Rank? You got an RB1 for us?
I do. Los Hyde. This guy has jumped out at me. I loved him all the way back at Ohio State. And there he is. Hossin dudes. He's Hossin
dudes. Hossin him up.
This guy is the best running back for the 49ers. And at some point, Jim Harbaugh is going to realize it and give him the rock each and every time. This guy is so
You're
good.
You're a little too excited there, Rank.
A little too much. It's Los Hyde.
28-3 when they yanked Frank Gore. Do you think they're going to go 23
again
against
the Bears? Did you not watch him at Ohio State? It's the same thing.
Might end up going 28-3 against that Bears defense. How about it, Marcus?
That's the match.
I think this is going to be the year of the rookie wide receiver, so I'm going with one right here in Mike Evans. The Bucs looking against the Rams defense this week, and I think the loss of Chris Long means that pass rush is a little less ferocious for St. Louis. Evans saw 9 targets last week, same as Vincent Jackson. I think he sees a little more this week, and I think he has a big week for Tampa Bay.
All right. Akbar, why don't you round it out here for us? You got a wide receiver, running back. What do you got for me?
I've got a wide receiver, and it's got to be Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks, of course, didn't really get an opportunity to get off. But, yes, my son works. I think he's going to work against the Philadelphia Eagles. Last week against the Broncos, really didn't get an opportunity because we know Peyton Manning is the master of extending drives, so didn't give them enough opportunity to connect and make that connection. Watch for Hakeem Nicks.
All right, so Hakeem Nicks gets his first touchdown in 6 years, and now Akbar is going to be riding him all the way through the fantasy football season.
Right.
Is that the case? All right, I'm going to give you guys a choice right now.
Okay.
You got a rookie running back. You got a rookie running back. Who has more points, Terrence West or Carlos
Terrence
Hyde?
West.
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, I would have said West.
Terrence West.
I'm going Carlos Hyde.
Who has more points? How about Calvin Benjamin or Mike Evans?
Kevin Benjamin.
I just like talking about rookies.
Benjamin.
I get excited about rookies because I can think about college football. Seminoles. And anyway, Chanticleers. All right, that's going to do it for us here on NFL Fantasy Live. We will see you again Sunday morning at 11:30 Eastern on NFL Now and the NFL Red Zone channel with all the latest injury news and fantasy notes.